We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.
I don't know what to say. I didn't think I'd be in this position. My mom sacrificed a lot for me. She did everything for me. I just want to thank her.
I still get the chills when I walk in this place. I'll never forget when I was in high school, first time I walked in this place. I'll never forget the first time we had Midnight Madness as a freshman. I'll never forget the first time I played Carolina. There's so many great memories in this building, and it's always special to be back.
Coach K is special to me. He will be forever. And not only is he a great friend, obviously he's the best coach in the world. So I was just lucky enough to be able to play for him.
The other thing with these four guys is just the versatility. Like Vernon and Matthew, they're guys that can post up. They also can hurt you from beyond the three-point line, and they can really shoot the ball. Wendell and Cassius are bigger wings. They can post. They can handle the ball.
And welcome in. It's the Duke Basketball Podcast, dare I say, the off-season edition. David Schumann alongside associate head coach John Shire. Throwback, right? Like to the old days?
Look, I love the way you're starting out. That's impressive. We're ready to go.
And as you said, ready to go, but going to turn the page here not too long before the guys get on campus and we start looking ahead. A lot of people think that the basketball season starts in October, but it really starts in July when these kids get on campus for the first time.
Yeah, well, it's crazy. It feels like this spring has flown by. We're excited to get our new team together. We've had some guys here working out in June to prepare, but July will be the first time we have our entire group together.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the draft, obviously a big night for Duke. Talk about some rule changes. But before we dive into all this basketball stuff, I look across for those listening to the podcast, and you've got a Wrigley Field t-shirt on. Have you been yet this year?
I've not. I've not made it back. I actually have to go to Chicago for a wedding. One of my best friends from growing up is getting married. And so, might as well represent. So, homage, you ever heard of homage? You can get these shirts.
Break it down.
That's where I got this shirt. So my brother-in-law got me a gift certificate to homage, and he was on my butt to finally make sure I use it. And so I use it for a Wrigley Field shirt. It's a cool, you should check it out, is what I'm saying.
I give you group pay support. We got to get Coach on sometimes and get his thoughts on the Chicago Bears kicking game, or maybe your thoughts with the guys that are rotating through.
That's not really what we want to talk about, but we can talk some Bears. They're pretty good. But Wrigley Field, I would say top three sports venue in the country.
Cameron
is one. Wrigley's two. What's three? or is Wrigley not two in your opinion? What are the top three in your opinion?
I'm an Orioles fan, but that's not even in the same ballpark of the Cubs. I'm trying to think. Wrigley's got to be up there. I mean, you got to give some love to Fenway.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't say Lambeau Field. Are you about to say Lambeau?
No, but that is a good. It's hard to cross sports with this, though. Like, you almost have to keep the list specific to a sport because you start. Because, like, college hoops might have three that, like.
I love how I put you on the spot. I'm firing a question at you now, and I can't get an answer. Are we going next? Next answer? Three top sports venue.
Yeah, Wrigley's in there. It's got to be in there.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's talk hoop. Couple weeks removed, you were there in Brooklyn. I mean, I don't think there was a lot of drama in terms of the first three picks, but still pretty special to see what Zion and those guys did.
No, it's incredible. I mean, you know, three guys in the top 10, you know, Zion going one, and RJ going to a great spot for him, and then Cam's going to a great spot for him. Like, Atlanta will be great. And so just to see all our guys, one, get together again, but just to see the way they handle themselves, the way they did the interviews afterwards, and the way they carry themselves. I can't say enough about those guys. I mean, I'm so excited for them, and can't wait to see what they do coming up.
Yeah, Zion first overall to New Orleans for anyone who's been living under a rock the last few weeks or maybe the last few months ever since they did the draft lottery. That was obvious. Fourth Duke player to be drafted number one overall goes back and starts in 1963 with Art Haman, Elton Brand in 99, Kyrie Irving in 2011. For historical context, that's the most for any collegiate team, and there's a lot of numbers that fall into that bucket. A sixth straight year with a player selected in the top three for Duke, that's two more than any collegiate program in the history of the game.
Can I just stop you for one second? Yeah. That is a crazy thing.
Yeah.
6 years in a row with the top three pick. I mean, it just goes to show the guys we've had. And you hope, you know, people don't take that for granted, the special players that we've had here the last few years. Not last few years. You know, it's been for a while. But the fact that it's 6 years in a row of a top three pick, it's crazy. That's a crazy stat right there.
Well, to that end, you guys are – I almost say living in the future sometimes with the way the recruiting works these days. How much time do you guys have a chance to sit back and say, holy crap, like, look at what's happened here over the last 40 years with Coach, but even since you've been here coaching and playing?
No, well, you don't sit back a lot because you're constantly thinking about how can we get better, what can we do. You know, as much as that's an amazing stat, that's not what we hang our hat on at the end of the day. And, you know, we're trying to form teams. And to have that be part of it, obviously you need talents, you need great players. And, you know, for us, those guys who have gone high in the draft, it's not just because of their talent. It's been because of their fit for Duke. And so that's, to us, the best part. And, you know, we're obviously always looking ahead to build a team. And, you know, we lose a lot every year. And that's, I think, more and more we try to identify the guys that are right for us, not just the talent. And, you know, fortunately, we had three guys in this year's class, draft class, that is, because obviously Trey Jones was in that class, and then Joey Baker joined. All of them were the right fit for Duke.
And Marquise Bolden, of course, signs with Cleveland after the draft. And Cam Reddish, 10th overall to the Hawks. Barrett, 3rd overall to the Knicks. But, and you touched on this earlier, the thing that I was struck by, and it's great to see the rest of the country maybe see what we see day in and day out. Everyone sees the highlight reels for Zion and RJ and those guys and all the dunks and all the spectacular plays. But you want to talk about kids, and these kids turning into young men that have it together when they're standing there and talking to Maria Taylor, and Zion's talking about what his mom has done for him, coaching and everything on down the line, and then RJ gets up there standing next to Rowan and talks about family. You know, that's a moment where it's easy to slip into, I call it the me zone, the look at me thing and the perspective they have to talk about everybody in their life. It's rare.
It's one of the coolest moments I've seen, and I was lucky to be at the draft, and all of us as assistants were there. And I was right down next to the green room, not in it, but right next to it, just to observe and, you know, be there for the guys. And, you know, I got to see it up close and personal. And, you know, honestly, coaching those guys with their personalities and guys like that every day, it makes your job easier. You know, just like I'm so personable for you and so fun to deal with, I'll make your job easier. That's how it is for these guys. Yeah. And, you know, I love coaching them. And it just honestly changes the whole perspective of, you know, what you have to do as a coach when you come to the gym every day. You're not thinking about how can I get these guys to talk or how can I get them excited. They bring that. And so you can talk about X's and O's. You can talk about, all right, on this move, maybe look at this on your footwork or look at this on your shooting. It's a lot more fun. So coaching those guys, it was a special group, no question about it.
I was also struck by that there was a picture of them when they first got on campus with the three of those guys kind of arm in arm. How much older they've gotten and just, I mean, right? You lose perspective being around them so much of like, yep. I mean, their games have obviously matured and everything like that, but they really did look like kids in that picture, and now they look like grown men ready to take on the NBA.
No, it's crazy. I mean, and they've gone better. They all have gone a lot better as players, but also just the experience of going to Duke, the people that they are, they've grown up. And so that's been a lot of fun to see.
Zion and RJ have already kind of shattered the records in terms of jersey sales and T-shirt sales and everything like that. As you said, you were there. What was it like to be in the room? Even though everyone kind of knew what was happening,
right,
it still had a buzz.
No, it did have a buzz. And, you know, I've actually been there the last 3 years, and it was a different feeling this year to the draft. And, you know, it's always funny being there. Well, one, even if you're not there, I feel like the draft picks always get tweeted out ahead of time. So you have to make sure you're off of social media if you want it to be
Adrian Wojnarowski.
Yeah.
are focused on.
the way he did that was pretty good. But the draft, you know, as soon as they're about to be picked, you always see cameras gathering around the table. And so it's always it ruins it a little bit. So there's always ahead of time, you know, like right before the 10th pick, you know, cameras are getting in, you know, Cam's face and his family. And so, you know, where he's about to get picked. But it was just a good buzz, and obviously a special night for Duke, special night for all three of them and their families. And it was just fun to see just how the journey kind of paid off, you know, through the experience at Duke and where they have ended up.
How do you think that spins forward for them over the course of the summer into next year? Kind of just a general question. Those three guys, I want to talk about Marquise here in just a second, but those three guys, how their game transitions to the next level and what that process is going to be like for them as they start playing against the best of the best in the world.
Well, I think the way we play this year helps all of them in two regards. One, they know how to play with other great players, and they did that this year. And then two, you know, defensively, they're all guys with their bodies, their length, their athleticism. You know, we play man-to-man basically the entire year, knowing how to guard multiple positions. You know, being a positionless defender, you know, obviously if you're watching the NBA playoffs, is huge in today's game. So all three of those guys can do that. And then I think, you know, they're all still young, so they're going to continue to grow their game and learn to create shots and finish at a high level and all those things. Obviously, you know, RJ, the amount of points, he already knows how to do that, and Zion does and Cam does. But just to do it at a higher level is key.
And just one more stat before we turn the page on that. With all three of those guys going in the top 10, 28 lottery picks for Duke. And coach, that's the most for any program, the most for any coach. We could go through his whole resume, but the podcast doesn't last that long. So, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous sometimes when you take a step back and look at some of the numbers. Coach wouldn't want you to do that. He'd want to look forward. What's the classic saying? He doesn't have a rearview mirror.
Exactly.
But there were some other guys that had decisions to make. Marquise Bolden and Javon Delorier both kind of went out and got some feedback, and Javon decided to come back to school for his senior season, and Marquise decided to stay in after the draft, ultimately signing with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Take us through that process. I know you guys are in contact and conversation with those guys. Not an easy decision to make.
No, it's not, but, you know, it's our guys, we always want them to have an educated decision, you know, and Marquise, when he made his decision, we're in full support for him. We knew there were some teams that were interested in him. You know, the way it's gone the last few years, especially, you can be in a better position not being drafted than being drafted. And it's kind of like betting on yourself. And so Marquise had a chance to get drafted, but the situation with the Cavs was really good. And so, you know, he'll have a chance to really play for him a lot in summer league, have a chance to show what he can do even more. And, you know, we're excited for him, the position he's in. And obviously it's time. He's got to now go do it and show it. But we're in support of him. We're happy for him. I think Javon, you know, he's been here the last couple of weeks working out, and he learned a lot through his process. So that's been, I think both of them have grown from it. Obviously, Marquise decision to stay in. We support is great. And Javon, I think, will be better for it for his senior year.
And Marquise Bolden stepped in a situation where it certainly appears like Cleveland is investing a lot of resources, whether it's John Beilein or whomever, to try to turn the corner and turn the page from the LeBron era, so to speak. And as you said, pretty good spot for him.
Definitely. No, I think it's a great spot. I'm excited to watch him, especially in summer league.
People have had these things, but to get back and be the thread from when I was playing to the new guys coming up, and we all sit around, Winslow and Grayson Allen and all of us, we just sit around and chat, and to have that kind of brotherly thing, it's for real.
It's just the bond that we have with one another. You know, when I'm coming back to Tarrytown, I know I'm going to see Justice. You know, I know I'm going to see, you know, Emil. Usually it's Quinn, but, you know, he's in the finals right now. But I know I'm going to see all the guys that I have a great bond with. And, of course, just being able to be here, being around Coach Day, that's always a blessing. You know, he's the best.
Well, as we say, we got to turn the page. We're going to talk about the 1920 season here in just a little bit. But let's talk about some stuff in between. And since you came at me earlier, this is my turn to turn the page. So I was listening a couple years ago. You had Coach K on the off-season podcast, and you were talking about the dominance of UNK Academy and how how well it had gone. And I don't believe since then there's been any rings going on.
We had a tough year. I had some injuries. We had some torn Achilles, you know, on my team.
Seriously?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did. So my guys, he's getting better, though. You know, shout out to you, Bob. You know, keep getting healthy. We had a dislocated hip or a bad hip injury. We had a...
What are you doing in practice?
Yeah, we practiced too hard. And we had another one. I don't know what Randy's injury was. I hope he's listening to this, but he had an injury as well. So we are down in numbers, not making excuses.
No,
just sometimes it goes that way. But we fought. You know, we had three losses. All of them were by about a point or two. So I'll take the responsibility as a coach. But congrats to Coach James, and we'll be back next year. Don't worry. We're coming for next year.
And the games are fun, and it's cool to see who wins, and I give you a lot of crap. But, like, the real sweet spot, I would think, for you guys as coaches is to see the flood of guys that come back.
Yeah.
Saw Shane Battier, saw Luke Kennard, saw Justice Winslow. I mean, you go on and on down the list. That, to me, I mean, we were talking earlier about you guys don't have a lot of time to look back. I feel like that weekend might be a real good chance to sit back and touch base with guys that felt like we're here yesterday, but we're here 5-10 years ago, and reminisce a little bit or look back at things. I don't know if that's fair or not.
No, it is. And it's also a weekend that flies by because there's – so many guys you want to see and catch up with, former teammates for me. And, you know, honestly, a lot of the campers that come, you become friends with them and get to know them. So it's fun to catch up with them as well. So it's a blast. I wish you came with your statistics, just like you were naming off in the beginning. I mean, I've had a pretty good run, shoemate. I wish you would pay some respect now.
Well, you got a stretch where you won like 3 out of 4, right?
Yeah, now it's 3 out of 5.
Wait,
is it 3 out of 5?
I guess
no,
three
it's
out
not.
Of six.
3 out of 6. Yeah, it's 3 out of 6.
You sure you want me to have the stats?
But, you know, I think this year was first regular season loss Team Indy has had in about 4 seasons.
Wow.
So, yeah, go to the check the stats on that. I'm pretty sure.
I actually talked to Coach James early on during the regular season portion of the weekend,
yeah.
and he didn't think they had it. Well, so they must have gotten hot.
Well, they're beat up too, but it all came together, and it was a war of attrition. It really was. By the end of it, it was whoever's left standing and could walk up and down the best and was going to pull it out. So
basically, you were the Golden State Warriors of the KAK. You had it, and people just started getting hurt left and right.
That's really a great comparison. I think that's what it is.
The dynasty in the making and injuries.
Yeah, I don't
everybody.
Know who was my Kevin Durant, though, and who was my Klay Thompson. I got to figure that one out.
That's not the only thing that's happened over the course of the last few weeks. Noah's got a new friend.
She does. Shout out to Nolan and baby Cam. Shayna and Nolan, baby Cam.
I know you guys are super tight, but, I mean, that's got to be pretty sweet to know, for all intents and purposes, your kids are going to grow up together too.
No, it's amazing. I mean, just to see, you know, always knew Nolan would be big-time dad. I mean, he's always been great with, you know, he's got a dog and kids and he's the best with that. So just to see it, and so happy for him and Shayna, his wife. They're Cam. They have a beautiful daughter, and she's her and Noah are gonna be running around together for a long time.
I've seen Dad Nolan kind of walking around. We actually live in the same neighborhood. You don't probably don't know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I live right around the corner for him. And yeah. He's got a very specific and unique and very talented sense of style. And I bring that up to say, has he persuaded you or talked to you about bringing the fanny pack to your game?
Well, you know what? It's funny. He talked to me about that this morning. You know, my wallet fell out of my in my car just in the crack. And he literally pointed to his fanny pack that he wears it everywhere. And so he's on me about it. He even said that he would get one for me. So I'm contemplating it. I think by getting one, though, I'm admitting that it's a great thing. And I like to give him a hard time. So, but yeah, the dad thing, he's got it going for him, though. I'm proud of him.
Well, there has been some news around the game of basketball before we talk about this year's incoming class and Duke in particular. There have been some rule changes put in place for 1920 that at least I think are significant. Most notably, the three-point line being moved back to 22 feet, 1 3/4 inches. If people are wondering, like, that's very specific. It's the international distance. Do you have a take? Do you have an opinion? I think everyone's kind of known it's been coming for a little while.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I wish we had it this past year. I think would have opened up some more space for our team. But I think it's great. You know, guys can shoot that line comfortably. I think you might see a little bit of a difference just with the consistency of doing that. But I think it's great they changed it now so you have the whole summer and fall to prepare. But I think it opens up space for drives. You know, most guys can shoot that line already. But I think the consistency of at least keeping it the same for what the international is good. And, you know, now it's the second time they moved the line back. They moved it back when I was in college, going into my senior year. Now to move it back again, I think this is the right distance. So I think it'll be great for the game.
I think it's interesting the way you phrase it, too, because I think a lot of people think about moving it back as the whole goal was to make the three-point line or the three-point shot harder because the numbers had gone up and the attempts had gone up. But I think the real impetus is more forcing the defense to come out further to open things up inside because obviously zone defense is legal and all that sort of stuff. People, particularly against Duke last year, have literally just tried to put bodies in the paint and say good luck.
Correct. And, you know, again, end of the day, you still need to make them pay with the threat of hitting the shot. If you're not hitting shots, if you're not a threat to shoot, that the line doesn't mean anything. But, you know, hitting for us, being able to hit that three, hit an open three is huge. We put a big emphasis on that this summer. And so I think just that extra little distance helps to open up driving lanes and make it a little tougher to defend, actually, too.
Do you think they'll ever go the route, this is more just my curiosity, of obviously NBA has a rule about defensive 3 seconds. They allow zone defense, but technical if you just kind of hang out in the paint. Do you think the collegiate game will ever go that route?
You know, I think that's unique to the NBA. I don't know if college will do that. I don't think international will do that. I think that's unique to the NBA.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I do think the change is coming from the international game, certainly to the NBA, maybe to the college game, of the rule where essentially once the ball hits the rim, it's fair game, and you don't have to – it's such a difficult call for referees to make, goaltend, offensive interference, stuff like that. I think that rule is coming. I don't know what you think.
I would like to see that rule. I think it's – you know, it's – I may be biased just because I played over there, and, you know, I was over the rim all the time. The rim. There you go. Now you got me.
See, I believe you sometimes.
But, no, it's a good rule.
The other changes that are coming that you guys will see next year – good things, and coaches talked about this on an offensive rebound. The shot clock will reset in the front court to 20 seconds instead of 30 seconds. And the other thing that hasn't got a lot of conversation, but I think is a good move, is coaches in the last 2 minutes of regulation, the last 2 minutes of overtime, will be able to call timeouts. For those that don't know right now, if you ever see coaches talking to the ref and the ref trying to talk to the players, because in the previous last couple of years, players have been the only ones who can call timeouts, and you have this weird kind of game of telephone going on where refs are trying to help coaches get timeouts if they want them.
I think, yeah. You see, the international game, you can't even call a live ball timeout. And so I think it's either you allow them to do it, which now they allow coach mainly to call timeouts in the last couple of minutes. I think that's a good thing. And then the 20-second shot clock reset, I think it's great because you don't need 30 seconds when you get an offensive rebound. So you take out the time you need to cross half court. So I think it's a good rule. As much as you can do for a faster-paced game, more decisions, put more on the players. I think that's where the game should be going.
All right, well, let's talk about 1920 a little bit before we get into the new guys. And there's six of them, including three from the state of North Carolina. We'll talk about that in a little bit. There's also, and this hasn't gotten as much conversation, I guess it's the nature of recruiting and everything that goes into it these days, there's a lot of returners coming back and guys that contributed key minutes at different times. You think about the defense of Jordan Goldwire, the Louisville game, but also in the ACC tournament. Obviously, the two captains, Jack White, Javon Delorier, the shooting of Alex O'Connell, the shooting of Joey Baker. I mean, we could list them all off, but there's some really key pieces that are returning, and right at the top of that list is a pretty good point guard.
Yeah, well, it's you hit him ahead. I mean, it's huge for us having those returning guys and guys with experience that have been in these games before. And in college basketball, that's you can't say enough about it. And so we expect a lot out of those guys. We want them to set the tone for our team. And obviously then you add in the freshman core that we have coming in as well. We feel like it can be a really balanced, really deep team. And so we're anxious really to get started. It's going to be a competitive summer, competitive fall. And we feel like we can have a lot of guys that can help us and give us really good minutes.
Trey Jones feels like he's in position to join that list of players at Duke. I think at least initially he'll be certainly in the conversation in the preseason for National Defensive Player of the Year. But I know you guys want to see him focus on making sure he's a scorer as well.
Yeah, Trey is a guy who's always going to do what's needed to win. So if it's having 12 assists and 0 points, he's willing to do that. Same thing, he can get you 10 rebounds in a game. And if it means just locking a guy up on defense, he's going to do that. But, you know, scoring is the next step to do consistently because we need him to do that. We didn't need him to do that his entire freshman season. But I know he's up to the challenge. I'm not taking anybody over him in the country. He's going to have a heck of a year. He's going to be one of our leaders, obviously. And, you know, I feel confident with him on my team.
I ask you this every year, but I will before we start to the new guys. Of the returning guys that maybe don't get as many minutes because, or last year didn't get as many minutes because of how things worked out, who maybe is going to catch everybody's eye when they see them hit the floor this year? I mean, I know you told me for a year or two to keep an eye on Jack White, and he kind of exploded onto the scene a year ago. Who's kind of someone else that you think might pop this year?
Well, it could be anybody, first of all. Yep. I think we're going to see a lot of competition in our practices this summer and fall, so we'll see what that brings. But I think Alex O'Connell is due for a big junior year. You know, he's really shown a lot of really good flashes his first 2 years, but now it's time to take the next step. I think Alex is ready to do that. He's gained a lot of muscle. He's gotten bigger this offseason, and I think that will help him a lot for this year. So I think Alex is ready to take the next step.
And obviously five new guys that are coming in as well. Let's kind of run down the list. Vernon Carey, junior, 6'10", 275, comes from the state of Florida where his dad was an offensive tackle for 8 years for the Miami Dolphins, a big body inside, but certainly someone who can step out and hit a three. You want to talk about someone who can hit a three or maybe a bucket full. Matthew Hurt, 6'8", 214, averaged 37-12 in his senior year in high school. I get that it's a different level, but 37 points a game is ridiculous. That's John Shire-esque.
He averaged more than I did. I didn't mean it like that. I did not average 37.
And then you got Wendell Moore, 6'5", 210, out of Concord, a North Carolina product. An elite defender is how coaches described him so far. And then a shooting guard in Cassius Stanley, 6'5", 185, out of Los Angeles, California. And then you got this kid named Michael Savarino, who's also going to be joining the squad. We'll talk about him here in just a second. But those four guys, obviously all of them highly recruited coming in, individually, collectively, they're obviously going to change the makeup of this team and how Duke's going to play going into the summer and into the fall and then on into the winter. But what most excites you about that group?
Well, I just think their experience of playing basketball. You know, three of them have played USA basketball, if not once, multiple times. You know, Cassius played at Sierra Canyon, which is a school that plays at a really high level. So just their experience of doing it at the highest level of high school basketball, I think, is really going to pay off for them. And they're all guys that they're all about winning. They want to come in and win. And, you know, all of them have done that in their own ways. We're excited to get going with them and then, you know, really just get to know them even better, you know, when you get to be with them every day during the summer.
And you could see some of the comments that those guys make, Matthew Hurt in particular. And you talked about this earlier. When you have an anchor like Trey Jones and you said you wouldn't take anyone in the country over him, recruits notice that, too, when someone's coming back like that, and that excites them to play with a guy like Trey Jones.
They're all excited to play with Trey. as they should be, because they know if they're open, Trey will find them, which is a big thing. And, you know, the other thing with these four guys is just the versatility. Like Vernon and Matthew, they're guys that can post up. They also can hurt you from beyond the three-point line, and they can really shoot the ball. Wendell and Cassius are bigger wings. They can post. They can handle the ball. So it's a versatile group as well that we're bringing in. So very exciting.
And now let's talk about two generations removed. A pretty cool story that Michael Severino is going to come here and play for Poppy. Though I don't think we're going to hear that much when it comes practice time.
Yeah, it's coach. It's definitely coach, but he's going to add a great dimension. You know, Michael has been around the program for a long time,
yep.
So he knows what's going to be asked of him and, you know, what to do. And it's as important to him as it is to anybody. So I'm excited to get going with him as well.
And coach actually, I thought it was hilarious talking about he's not so worried about mom and that. He's more worried about grandma saying.
Exactly.
What's exactly. The story?
Exactly.
Which you can probably relate, right?
Well, they're going to go straight past the assistant coaches for that one. So good luck, coach. You got it.
Well, before we get out of here, I obviously have a tee time. You've got a baseball game to get to. Let's get up a three-point shot. Before we hit the road, real quick, summer workouts. You guys can't spend a lot of time with the guys during the summer, but what are the focal points when you have that collective time, but also when these guys are putting in their individual work?
Well, first and foremost is just getting better overall, you know, improving our shooting, our ball handling, our decision-making, different shots in the paint. Like, we need to be really high-level finishers. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is just adding another level of competition. We need to be an extremely competitive, tough team. And then the last piece is, you know, teaching these guys just how to play, you know, how to make reads, how to, you know, all right, this is taken away from me. What's my counter? You know, what's option 2, 3, and 4 here? And, like, I think when we have a young group, that's sometimes doesn't come right away. And so that's something we really want to work on. So, you know, come February, March, hopefully April, you know, we have all those things down pat.
We talked about Trey Jones earlier. Quick update on him. Coach mentioned the surgeries, hip surgery on his right hip, had hernia surgery as well. Everything's progressing nicely. Just a quick health update on him on what the summer looks like as he works his way back.
Yeah, Trey's ahead in his rehab. You know, he's doing great. He's able to do stuff on the court now. He feels he always can do more, and, you know, it's our responsibility to hold him back. But he's doing great, and he's way ahead of schedule.
And before we get out of here, it is the summer. You got to have some family. What is a Shire? Are you a cookout guy? What's your play?
We like to grill. We like to grill out at night. And there's no really family summer traditions. My wife has been on my butt about figuring out somewhere we can go with our kid and maybe someday kids as we get older. But that's something we have to figure out. So.
The beaches. Are you a beach guy?
She's a beach goer, so we're going to have to figure that out. I'm okay going to the beach. That's fine.
Kids can build castles. They can bury dad. That's always a fun game.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think we're going to find our way to a beach here soon.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, have a good summer. We'll be checking in throughout the summer. Got some cool stuff planned for August and September as we start to build our way into the season. Appreciate the time. Know you got to hit the recruiting trail before long.
Thanks as always, you mate.
Talk to y'all later.